You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
So we're going through our Advent series. We're on the second week. It's called Look. I get to look at Jesus, which honestly, I needed that this week. And I'm so thankful that I get to teach up here. I know that you guys know that a lot. I talk a lot about it a lot. Like, I never saw myself coming up here and teaching the Word of God. I think it's the coolest thing, and I know it's from God, and I just want to thank Pastor Nathan for allowing me to do this. It's honestly because of under your authority that I get to do this, and it's under God's authority, and I'm just so blessed. And just a quick aside, so I had a birthday this week, and hey, thank you because of that. But I appreciate it. When I was 30, because I'm 33, so when I was 31, God was like, okay, 32 is a big year for you. And I was like, what is 32 going to be? And I had been like expecting for 10 years, because 32 is my favorite number. So I was like, what's 32 going to be? I did not think 32 was going to be me up here teaching. Like, that was not it. And I'm so amazed by God's generosity. Like, this is something I didn't even know I wanted. And now that I have it, I'm like, oh, I'm so thankful. And if you want to take it away, that's fine. But I'm going to just enjoy what I have now. And who knows what 33 will be? Me and Pastor Nathan were walking by, and he's like, I'm praying for 2019. I'm like, oh, gosh, you prayed for 2018, and look what happened. I'm excited. So as we get into Advent and to look, I want to kind of set the scene. So today's sermon, we're not going to go through a specific book of the Bible. We're kind of going over lots of different verses. So there's no need to take out your Bible and to rush through them. They'll be on the screen. Take notes. I have a couple points, but if there's something in there too that I didn't point out, write it down. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. He's more important than me, so write down. And I have to also say that Christmas is my favorite time of the year. I'm wearing a Christmas sweater. I got my Christmas mug. Like, I'm all Christmased out. Like, this is my favorite time of year. My poor roommate knows this. I hold back so hard, as close to possible as December, to celebrate, because I look forward to it all year. And a good way for me to look at it is some people look at Christmas as the end of something. They see it as the end of the year, which makes sense why we get sick, why we get stressed out. Because if you think about it, all year long, from January to December, you have been putting things on your shoulders. You've been putting deadlines. You've been putting activities. You've been putting adventures. You've been putting responsibilities. You've been putting on debt. Like, there are so many things that you put on. And then you get to Christmas. You get to December. And then for a lot of us who work, who are in school, we get vacation. So already our Decembers is shortened. Now we have to get all the things done that we normally do in a normal month in 3 weeks, in 2 weeks. So it's no wonder that we get really stressed out. No wonder that we get sick. No wonder that we just kind of want to isolate and hibernate, because it's exhausting. And so what's helped me is looking at Christmas as the beginning, not the end. It's the start of my year. And if you look at the liturgical calendar, it really is the beginning. It's when Jesus comes into history. It's the start of something. And what I love is that you have Christmas, which is a couple days after the winter solstice, which is the darkest, longest night of the year. And then we get this crazy idea, right? Christmas happens, and then we put away all the Christmas tree. We put away all the Christmas lights. We put all the decorations at the beginning of the darkest. Like, I don't understand that. That's when we need the light. That's when we need all of the living things in our house. It's not the end. It's at the beginning, right? And so you have Christmas, and you have Jesus's life going into Easter. We have his death. We have his ascension at Pentecost. I think it's amazing, and I think it's a gift from God that he gave us these holidays during the hardest times of the year, during December and all the way through spring. We need him in those dark times. And so that is my encouragement to you, is I know some of you, December 26th, you're going to tear everything down. Some of you, it will be New Year's. But try to make it last a little longer. I'm not saying keep your tree, because a lot of you guys have live trees. I don't want to start fires. Like, don't do that. but keep a little piece of Christmas out all the way up until Easter as a constant reminder that we have hope, that even if it's dark, it's okay. We still have hope. And that's what I love about the decorations. Like, I love that we put a Christmas tree in a house. Like, I have a fake tree, so it doesn't really, you know, work, but it's a living thing. It's a living thing. And if it was alive, it would be dead, because I kill things. Like, it's bad. So it's good that it's fake, because it will last. But it's also the Christmas lights, and it's the darkest time of the year, and I think you guys know where I'm going with this. They are physical representations of Jesus. Is that we have scripture to hold on to, but sometimes we need that physical representation. We need the living thing in the house. We need the light in the house to remind us that Jesus is the life and he is the light. So I'm grabbing from John just because I like to back up my things with scripture. So John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He also said, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is what he said about himself. We have to pay attention to that. When he talks about himself, believe it, trust it. This is what he is saying. He is saying he is life and he is light. So when you're going through this season, look at those things, not just like, oh, yay, Christmas time, Santa, reindeer. But look at it as, no, this is hope. This is what we can rely on. This is what we can trust. So, on the theme of look, I want us to look at a picture. It's on our Facebook as well and on Instagram. So if you're watching live, you guys can look at it. It's in the stories, and it will be on there for later too. But it's up here. And this is by a sister named Grace Remington. And I was captivated by this image. I have meditated on it and looked at it, and I feel like God is just continually revealing more and more about who he is. So I'm going to break it down a little bit. So the two people are Eve and Mary. And so we have Eve who's standing there, and she's holding a piece of fruit which symbolizes original sin. You can read about this in Genesis. And she's got this look of shame. She's now has a broken relationship with God. She has basically been sentenced to death. And there, she's hidden. She doesn't want to look. She's completely covered. And then you see the serpent around her legs, trapping her, holding her down. And what I love is here's Mary, the mother of Jesus, pregnant with Jesus. And she's holding her face. And what was a moment of shame is now I look at it and it's like, no, it's hope. It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. It's okay. And there's Eve holding Jesus in the belly, in the womb. And she gets to touch her hope. She gets to touch her Savior. And the picture is a bit cut off, unfortunately. But you see with Mary's foot, she's crushing the serpent with her heel. And this is from Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And what was so powerful about that image is that's Advent right there. That is one of the most Advent-y images I have seen. Because Advent is all about Jesus. It's all about this expectation of a Messiah. This expectation of all these prophecies that had been talked about all throughout the Old Testament actually being fulfilled. And we see the beginning of that with the life of Jesus. Him coming into history is a declaration of war, but it's also a fulfillment of a promise. It's a fulfillment that God will provide a way for restoration. When we read in Genesis, it's hard because you see how there was relationship, and then all of a sudden it broke. And I love it because God's like, don't worry, I got a plan. Right in Genesis 3:15, he had a plan. He's like, don't worry, the serpent will be crushed. And we see that in the life of Jesus. So today, I'm going to be talking about the life of Jesus. I'm going to be going through his life before, his actual life in history, sounds weird, and then his life now. So point one, we need to look at Jesus because we need to see what his life means for our lives. His life changed everything. Because Jesus' birth, there was this great anticipation for the Messiah, as I said. Was he going to be a conquering Messiah? Was he going to be a suffering Messiah? And obviously, Jesus is God, and he does his own thing. He does the unexpected. We think he's going to go this way, and he goes this way. And then we read through Scripture, and we're like, oh, you did tell us, but I didn't see it that way. That's amazing. And even his birth was prophesied in Bethlehem. Even everything he did while he was alive was prophesied. I think it's just so amazing that there was this, that God is just so purposeful, that he loves us so much that he takes care of us, even when we don't realize he's taking care of us. And there was a time in all of our lives when we were Eve, when we didn't know God, we didn't know Jesus, we didn't have that hope, we only felt the shame. And then there was a moment of grace where that shame turned into hope. And some of you may not be there. Maybe some of you are still in the shame. And what's great about it is we live in a community of people that can share that hope. That you can ask someone, hey, what was it like to feel that feeling of not being burdened anymore by sin, by feeling so ugly and down? We need to remember that there is no condemnation in Jesus. We have hope. We are free. But we do this all the time, right? It's like, we're like, oh, it's fine. I know I'm forgiven. And then you go hide. And then you go cover yourself. And then you have a moment and you're like, okay, no, I know I'm forgiven. And then you cover yourself. But God really wanted me to tell you guys today, you guys are worthy of saving. Receive that. You have salvation. He chose you. He loves you. He sent his son for you. That's how it changes everything. God's life changes our life because he's present with us, because he loves us. And this week, I want you to think about what your life was like before him. How was his gift? How was his life? How did it change you? Because honestly, God sent Jesus as a sign for his love for us, right? We read this in John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It's so powerful. And I know we went through John this year, and it's funny, I feel like God kept bringing up John as my, I was like, okay, I get the theme. I love John. I will add more John into this sermon, because we definitely need more John. Just because it ended doesn't mean that we're never going to go back to it. I feel like God's going to keep circling around. So point one was, we need to look at Jesus because we need to see what his life means for our lives. Point two, we need to look at Jesus' life because it changes how we live our lives. So let's talk about Jesus' life. I know that we spent a lot of time about Jesus' life this year. We went through John. So I'm not going to spend too much time because we've already did it. You guys can listen to the sermon series on the podcast if you like. Or I also recommend this Advent, just opening up John this month and just reading through John again. Or reading through another gospel like Luke. I love Luke. But what I wanted to point out about Jesus' life is that I said earlier he's intentional. He fulfilled over 300 prophecies. He was a very busy man. But he also knew how to rest, because he wasn't doing this in his own power. He was doing this in God's power. So we need to do the same, right? God calls us to be like Jesus. And that's not to do all the things and be perfect. That is not it. That is a lie. Right. It is to receive grace. It's to work in his power, to do what he's calling you to do, uniquely do. What he's calling me to do is not going to be the same for somebody else. That's just not how, God's way too good at things to do that. Like, how boring would that be if all of us did the same thing? I feel like that would not be productive. It's pretty good that, like, he's got a whole system of a whole kingdom, everyone doing their own thing to bring glory to him. But what's also great about Jesus is he did everything in love. He loved people. He loved people who were unlovable. When people were like, you can't talk to that person, he's a sinner, Jesus was eating with them. He talked to the children. He talked to the women. I mean, he gave so much honor and dignity to people. And that's what we are to do the same. We are to honor others because they are created in the image of God. Even if they don't believe in him, it doesn't matter. That's not up to us. We still honor them because God created them. And we live in a city of a lot of people. And there are so many opportunities to just look at somebody. The point of the sermon is to look at Jesus and Jesus saying, hey, also look at your neighbor. Look at your boss. Look at your coworker. Look at the stranger on the train you see every day who looks really upset. You don't need to even say anything. Sometimes you can just give a look because some people just need to be seen. They just want to know that someone sees them. And thankfully, we know that God sees us, but sometimes people don't know that. They don't know that a God can see them and that a fellow person on this planet can also see them and love them. And a big thing God taught me yesterday was inconvenience is good. Inconvenience, having a life of inconvenience is a life of quality. And I look at Jesus' life and I feel like, man, he had a lot of inconveniences. Obviously, it's all sovereign. He knew it was all going to happen. But oh my gosh, he's constantly walking through the thing and someone's grabbing his robe and someone's screaming at him. Someone's yelling at him. Someone's asking for help. I mean, how inconvenient is that if you just like walked into Logan Square and then everyone's coming at you and asking for something? That would be overwhelming. I would just run. I think I would probably just curl up because I'd be too tired to run. Like I would just like take everything. I'm done. It's fine. But Jesus did it with grace. He did it with love. He did it in God's power. And my encouragement is to be inconvenienced, to not go by your own plan. Sorry, my nose is a little stuffy. God has a lot of plans for us, but they don't need to all happen today. Same thing as Christmas. We have a lot of plans for Christmas, right? We have a lot of Christmas parties. We have a lot of Christmas cookies to make, a lot of Christmas movies to watch. We try to fit it all in one month, and that's a lot, and that's exhausting. And I'm telling you, don't do it. Just don't do that to yourself. Don't burn out, because the problem is you're going to do all the things in December, and then January, February, March, April, maybe May, half of May, you'll finally come out, and you're like, I'm alive, I made it, all because of 2 weeks. Is that really worth it? Might as well just take that Christmas cheer all the way to Easter. Is what I'm saying. Sorry, Sophia, for keeping all the Christmas decorations all year long. So we've talked about Jesus' life before. We've talked about Jesus' life during his time in history. Now we're going to talk about his second coming, because Advent is not just about looking back at the birth of Christ, but it's also looking forward to his return. Amen indeed. So Jesus didn't fulfill all the prophecies all during his life. There are some prophecies he will fulfill later on. And we also call them promises. As we're going through the Advent study, that's what we're talking about, right? Is we're talking about these promises of God. A lot of them are just prophecies. They're promises to us. And we know that we can trust him because he's done most of them already. We can look back and go, well, you didn't send us someone to save us. Oh, yeah, you did. You didn't correct relationship. Oh, you did. Thank you. Oh, you're present with me. I have your Holy Spirit. I didn't know that was a promise. Thank you, Lord. Like, that is amazing. And one of my favorite prophecies, it kind of reads as like a Lord of the Rings novel, but it's even better because it's true, is Christ is coming back as the conquering king, arriving with the armies of heaven at his side to destroy evil forever and establishing his rule, reign, and authority for eternity. That is what Jesus is doing. I think that's amazing to celebrate at Advent, as we celebrate his birth, but we also celebrate this warrior, savior, king. He's not just a baby, guys. He was a baby at one time, but wow, is he king now. And we can celebrate him in that. We can, at this season, we don't need to sing songs about the birth of Jesus, but the birth of our lives as well, right? Is that we are a new creation. We can celebrate that, and we can also celebrate him returning and have that anticipation, that excitement that he's coming back. He didn't leave us alone. One, we have the Holy Spirit kind of as a down payment, so he's coming back for sure. So point three, when we look at Jesus, we are telling God we trust him. Trust is created over time. It's hard to just trust someone when you meet somebody, right? There are some people who are like that, who can just walk up to somebody like, I don't know your name, but I now trust you with my life. There are people like that, and there are some people like, I don't know you, and I don't trust you at all. I'm going to stay over here and never talk to you again because you might kill me. And unfortunately, that's our society right now. I feel like there is so much distrust happening in our society. I was reading an article about the rate of true crime, podcasts, dramas, all of that. And it all feeds this fear mentality, this do not trust your neighbor mentality. And it's rampant. And I fall victim to it. I love those podcasts. And I really stopped and went, what am I doing to myself? What am I actually putting in my head? My neighbor's not going to kill me. And if he does, cool, whatever, I'm with Jesus. Like, it's not really a threat. I don't need to actually be afraid. And so maybe don't listen to true crime. I don't know, but really it's to trust in God. It's to love your neighbor, to be like Jesus. Obviously, Jesus did not walk around with fear. He had full reign and authority, really. So he had no fear. And as his children, as heirs of God, we don't need to walk in fear either. That we can actually love without abandonment. Like, it is, we can be vulnerable because we're not actually being threatened by anything. Yeah, there is pain. Bad things do happen, but it's temporary. And we have a great physician who's going to heal it. Like, the burns don't last that long. And really, you get a burn, you look at it, and you're like, well, that's cool. Thanks, God. I'm reminded of you. This is for your glory, not mine. So as we make our way through December, in one of the darkest months where you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with loneliness, with isolation, with fear, apathy, when you just want to hide away, remember that you can trust God, that he's going to provide, that he's going to be with you the whole time, that he's actually light, that he's actually life. Even today's reading in Isaiah, talking about fear and worry, the promises that you don't have to be afraid anymore. Memorize it. Declare it. Declare the truth of your life is, I don't need to be afraid. I have God. Even in the darkest of times, I have God. I have Jesus. I can look at him. Because friends, he's looking at you. You can be Eve. You can look up at Jesus. You don't have to look away. You don't have to hide. Jesus came. So you may be asking, okay, this is all great. How do we look at him? And some of it I've talked about, but I kind of want to go over it just to make sure. So these are the application points. I want us to reflect on what your life was like before Jesus. Take some time this week to really sit in it and think about it. And if you aren't a believer, this is an amazing opportunity to ask somebody else, what was your life before Jesus? Let somebody else testify. Let someone else share their testimony of who Jesus is. And sometimes, I know for my own self when I was not a believer, I would look at people who were believers, and I would think back, what were they like before they became a Christian? They weren't that nice. Like, they were really angry a lot. Wow, they forgive me a lot. Wow, they keep saying this word grace. I don't know what it means, but I like it. I heard it's a gift. So, all right, I like gifts. It's to really reflect on your relationship with Jesus. Because when you reflect on him, you start to really think about him, which is the point, is to look at him, is to meditate on Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to go through scripture because you're like, yeah, these are just words. They don't mean anything to me. But when you actually go back to experience of you actually experiencing Jesus, that can help you. That can make you go, well, I remember I was having a really hard year one time and I felt the lowest of the low and I felt like I was losing everything. And then all of a sudden, I felt this presence. I had a friend tell me, I'm praying for you. And then that anxiety went away, and I don't know why it went away. Was that you, Jesus? Most of the times it's, yes, that was me, child. And give glory to him. Thank him for those moments. Because they're gifts. They're totally gifts. It's like we need these little moments with him to store up. Because as I said, as the year goes by, you store up other heavy things. Drop those things and hold on to the gift of Jesus. Hold on to all those precious moments you've had this year with him, of all those moments that he just showed up, that he unexpectedly showed up. Because I feel like he does that a lot. We have the problem not wanting to look at him, especially when we're upset. We're like, you're probably the solution, but I don't want a solution. I just want to be upset right now. Which I do that a lot. And God's just like, Tawny, turn around, please. You know I love you. You know I love you. And I turn around, I'm like, I know you love me. And he just holds me. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm such a jerk. And he's like, I know you are. It's okay. Like, I'm bigger than you being a jerk. Like, I love you. He's your father. Remember that. Fathers, there's a strange relationship with fathers and their children. They can be big jerks, but dads really do love their dad, their kids, even if they don't show it well. Thankfully, God shows it well. God shows it the best way. And the problem is our own unhealthiness can get in the way, right? Is that if we view God as our earthly father and you've had a bad relationship with him, then it's going to be harder to look at God. But that's why we keep looking at him. It's when we keep paying attention to Jesus. We keep going, okay, what are you doing? What did you say you would do? Oh, you did that thing. I can trust you more. Okay, you're not like my actual dad. You're so much more than that. Okay, I can release that and actually love my dad for who he is, but man, I can receive your love, God, now in a totally different way. Number two, read through the Advent reading list. So we have the package. And if you need it, ask me. I'll hook you up with the PDF. What I want you to do is I want you to go through these promises. Look at them. Literally look at these promises. What has God actually done already in your life? What do you need God to do in your life? What is something that you're crying out, God, please do this one. I need this one. Memorize it. Sit in it. We need to remember that this is a time to be reminded of how good Jesus is. When we look at the promises, we think, wow, we did a lot. I can't do that. That's the point. Don't do it. Like, don't do all the things. Don't eat all the cookies. Don't do all the movies. Don't try to save everybody. Don't run up to someone and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Like, if God's calling you to do that, then yes, do that. But really, I don't think God's calling you to do that just because it's kind of scary, I know, because I've been yelled at in public where someone tells me Jesus loves me, and then I want to respond, I know, and then it's weird. So, but I want you guys just to live in that grace. Live in that grace that Jesus loves you, that you don't need to do all the things, that you can enjoy this new season. It's Christmas, it's a new season. So the third is rest this season. It's all about rest. Life pulls at us. And this is what I'm asking you guys to do. Take a Sabbath. Take more Sabbaths than you normally do. If that is one more than none, then that's a victory. We need Sabbath. We need to stop, rest, stop working in our own power. What I love about Sabbath is, if you think about it, back in the day, if you had a farm and you are harvesting and you're working on your land, that is your source of food. That is your source of income. That's how you provide for your family. That's how you provide for the community. You feel like it's all in you. And God does this crazy thing and says, hey, take a Sabbath. Take the day off. Human inclination is saying, no. If I stop today, then that means I won't get fed. That means my family won't get fed. That means the community is going to suffer. I can't do that. It's all on me. And God instituted Sabbath to remind us that it's not on us. It is on him. He is the provider. He is the sustainer. He's the one who gives us the gifts. He is the one that makes things go and move and transform. It's not us. So take the day off. Sit in his presence and look at him. Because it's not on you guys. It's not. My recommendation, if you have lots of parties to go to, pray over it and go, which one, Lord, do you want me to not go to? Which cookie recipe do you not want me to make? Which movie should I turn off? What do I do, God? How do I find rest? Because for some of us, maybe you can't. Maybe it literally is you can't take the day off. And God's like, don't worry, I have moments for you spread out throughout the entire week that you're going to find rest. But you have to be obedient in following me and taking that time off. You have to step back and go, all right, Lord, you are the provider. You are in control. I follow you. Remember, guys, you have all that you need, and it's Jesus. It's all you need. So I want to ask Darren to come up. And I'm going to read you one more thing. I want to end this sermon one of my favorite promises. About 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, I was having a really hard time. And I was like, Lord, I'm stuck here. And I don't have any hope. How do I get hope, Lord? And I was going through seminary. And when you're in seminary, it's hard. There is like, you're not just like working through textbooks. You're working like soul, you know, spiritual formation. There's soul transformation happening. There's so much happening. And so God's like, I want you to memorize this promise. And back in the day when I would drive, I would repeat this promise over and over and over again. And it has gotten me through some of the darkest times. So I'm going to read this to you. It'll also be on the screen. But what I really want you guys to do is I just want you guys to sit and rest. Have these words feel like a cozy blanket and that you're just getting warmed up. That God's like, I got you, I'm Jesus, I'm here, and I love you. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God. And he will be my son. Friends, this is Jesus. This is your Savior King. Let's look at him.